That should be all I've brought me up, and I should have opened up.
That's all.
But you know something, this is a place man on to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
There's so many things that we take for granted every day, is that we can serve the Lord freely in the country and stuff that we need.
Amen.
We don't have to worry about ISIS coming in chopping our heads and stuff off for praising God.
Yeah.
But you know something, we hear so many times you hear preached, you know, God, we do serve a God of love. But we also serve a God of wrath. And the Bible says that the wrath of God is coming on the children of disobedience.
Amen.
You know, but I'm also glad that I serve a God that I put things before us, Brother Kevin. People, you're always going to have some sweet person in the church and everyone say, now, brother, the Lord won't put no more on you than you can bear. That is nowhere in the Word of God.
Right, brother.
And what we're going to study here right now in just a minute, what the Lord has laid on my heart, we're going to read about how God will put you right out in the middle of a storm. And I want you to know something right now, my friend. If God will lead you to it, God will get you through it.
Amen.
And everybody will open up their Bible for me. Turn to the book of Matthew, a very familiar part of the scripture in chapter 14. We'll start with verse 22. And it says, and we'll start with verse 22, it says, and straight away Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And I started studying just by taking one verse at a time because I believe with all my heart that every word and every verse in the Word of God is important. When it said that Jesus constrained them, Jesus compelled them to get into the boat. Jesus ordered them to get into the boat. They didn't know what way to go, but I want you to know something right now. Jesus sent them out into the deep, but he knew that there was a storm on the making. I want you to know something right now, my friend. I believe with all my heart that God will put you in a storm to test your faith, brother buddy. God will put you in a place that you wish that you would never be in.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something right now. I started noticing a lot of things as I continued to read in this scripture. I started learning about how much that God loves us, how much that God wants to try you, and how much that you can do if you'll have just a little faith in God. I want you to know, and he says right here in verse 23, he said, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain part to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. I want you to know, ain't you glad? I believe with all my heart that when he sent them out, that we have a God that will pray for his children. I want you to know something right now. I believe with everything in me that Jesus Christ, he knows that storm he was getting ready to cause it, Brother Kevin.
Yeah.
And he was praying for them. Yeah. That although that he was out of their sight, they couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus still had an eye on them.
Yeah.
Just because we don't see God in our life does not mean that God is not there.
Amen.
He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I want you to know something right now, my friend. I believe that if we'll draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto us. We hear so many baby five people in the church today. Well, Brother Nick, I've not had any lessons. I've not felt God today. You know what? If you draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
The Bible says we have not because we ask not. I want to ask you a question. If you ain't felt God, how many times have you searched for God?
Amen.
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 You have to search for God. God wants to grow you. He wants to use you. But God will never use nobody that is willing, not willing to be used,
Amen,
brother.
Amen.
You're going to show me nowhere in the God for God took a lazy Christian and used him.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
Your heart.
He said right here after Jesus was alone, he said, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. It was blowing against it. I could just picture this. My imagination goes wild. I could just picture Peter, and if this was the second storm that these disciples have been in, the first storm was in Matthew chapter 8. But you know what? There's a difference now. In the first storm, Jesus was lying asleep in the stern. And I believe they started getting stirred, and they said, Master, we perish. Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. I want you to know something right now. I ask myself all the time, if Jesus was right next to me in a storm and I didn't see, will he look at me and say, oh, ye of little faith?
Yeah.
Where's the faith at? You know, we serve a God. The Bible said it's our faith that pleads. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yeah, please him, brother.
Amen.
Faith is what we grow on our faith. And you grow by faith by being where you are tonight. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Thou love the beautiful singing, but it's that Word that begots us, brother.
Yeah.
The most important part is the Word of God.
you could ever hear. You need to surround yourself where you can hear solid doctrine taught by a man of God that will not put some sugar on it for you, that will stand up and preach with the Holy Ghost of God and on his lips, that will stand and just let it rip for the glory of God.
Amen.
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 You're never going to grow as long as you don't grow a garden by giving it Mountain Dew.
No.
You grow a garden by water. And I want you to know something right now, you can grow your Christian life by the Word.
Amen, son. Yeah.
He said right here, and when the disciples saw, actually, let me go to verse 25. He said, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went into them, walking on the sea. And I started doing a little bit of study. The fourth watch is the darkest part of the night.
Yeah.
I want you to know something right now. When you're in the darkest part of your life, my friend, if you'll just lift your eyes, you're liable to see Christ walking on the water.
Amen.
You got a man right here who walked on water. He created water. He walked on water. He could say, peace, be still, hit a die down anytime he wants to. I believe that he come a walking on water once again, brother. Not to show who he is, to help them grow in their faith, my friend. They'd already got to see him once, brother, when he said, peace, be still, and the wind died down. But this time, my friend, they got to see him coming, walking on the water.
Yeah.
The waves was crashing, and I started studying this. But then I also, the Lord brought back to my recognition. I remember watching a little thing on the History Channel, which it makes me mad every time I watch it. I don't know why I even do it for. But the thing about it is, these geologists and scientists, they said it was a mirage. But they saying that Jesus was actually walking on the lake. I want you to know, he wasn't walking on the lake. He was walking out in the midst of the sea, out in the darkest parts of our life. He come a-walking. The only thing that between God's creation that he spoke and the thing he made, everything that he's spoken as it's and obeys him, but God's own creation that he created in his image is the most disobedient people that they are.
Amen.
I believe with all my heart they can say what they want to. This man walked on water, and I believe that every drop of water in that sea lifted up a holy hand of praise and walked on top of it.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Then he said, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a spirit? And they cried out in fear. But straight away, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer.
It is I. Be not afraid.
Amen.
And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou,
bid me to come unto thee on the water.
And he said, come. I want you to know something right now. We like to bash Peter because he took his eyes off the Lord and started to sing. But Peter was not the only disciple on that boat that night. Where was James and John at? Peter was the only one that had the guts and the faith to get out of the boat. That is what's wrong with the churches today, my friend. We got too many Christians that would rather sit in the pew and ride the boat than to step out of the boat.
Amen.
What we need is that we don't need somebody to just continue to say that they love us, brother. We need somebody to show their faith. James says, faith without works is dead. You show me your faith by your works, and I'll show mine by my works.
Amen. Amen.
What we need, we don't need some soft Christians. We need Christians that step out of the boat and do some water walking.
Amen.
With Jesus Christ, my friend.
Amen.
That's what we need. That's the only way that things is going to get better. You can sit in a boat and holler all you want to, but until you get out and you put your faith in action, then it's just going to be dry as a desert. You're not going to prosper. You're not going to do nothing until you step out into the midst of the unknown where Jesus Christ
Amen.
Is.
Right.
Having faith that my God can deliver me out of anything. Having faith no matter what my circumstances is, that I'm a winner either way.
Amen. Amen.
I'm thankful that we had men like Peter.
Yes, sir.
That would step out of the boat, brother Gary.
Yep.
And he may have took his eyes off the Lord, but there's nobody here that took their eyes off the Lord at one point in time in their life.
Amen.
Reach your hand, brother. But I want you to know something right now. I believe with all my heart, my friend, that some storms are intentional, but this storm was for comfort.
Yeah.
Bless your heart.
Yeah.
Jesus knew what he was going to do.
He sure did.
Yeah, Jesus knew that they was going to get scared and cry like a bunch of CC girls. He knew that.
Yeah.
He knew. He knows you better than you know yourself.
Amen.
But you've got a lot of people today, brother, who say, well, you know what? Maybe God don't know me as well as I think he does.
Yeah.
You know, you can fool your pastor, you can fool your brothers, your sisters, your mom and dad, your wife and your husband, but you're never going to fool the Almighty God.
Amen.
I want you to know God knows whether you're right or whether you're wrong, my friend. Jesus said he'll separate the wheat from the tares in that day, my friend. If you like a watered-down thing, my friend, then you come to the wrong place tonight, my friend, because I fear God more than anybody in this building,
Amen.
My friend. And I know that I'm going to be held accountable for everything that comes out of my mouth. There's going to be one day, Brother Buddy, you're going to stand face to face with the Holy God.
Amen.
Brother Kevin and Brother Gert, you're all going to stand face to face with the Holy God, and you're going to give accountability. Well, you're not going to lie your way out of it. You're not going to wiggle your way out of it. There's a lot of people who say, well, brother, that is too hard. I want you, if you think a preacher's hard on you, wait till you stand before the alpha male of heaven.
Amen, brother.
You know, there's David's four assurances that I loved right here. The first one is Jesus allowed this storm to happen.
Yeah.
He could easily say, peace be still.
Yeah.
And give them a joy, little smooth ride on that
boat. Yeah.
He could have let it die down and not make them scream like little children.
Yeah.
He could have made it die down. He could have given them peace, but he allowed it to happen.
He sure did.
People ask me, well, Brother Nick, if God loves us so much, why did he allow cancer to come into my family?
Yeah.
If he loves us so much, why does a little boy have to lose its parents at such a young age? You know, the Bible says it rains on the just.
As well as the unjust. Yeah.
There's going to be times in this life that I got a few ask questions that I have no answer.
Amen. That's right.
But the only thing I can tell you is get right with God and ask Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he'll give you your answer.
Amen. Yeah.
The only way that you're ever going to have peace in this life is whether you get right with God.
Amen.
You know, we don't need any more people to come and sit in the pews and be saved, sit down and satisfied. We need people that will fill the churches today, that will put on the whole armor of God, that will be willing to take that step out of that boat. Though the winds and stuff may blow, I want you to know something right now, my friend. We serve a God that will walk on the water. We serve a God, my friend, that will rise you up if you fall down. We serve a God that has never lost a battle, nor will he ever.
Amen.
I serve a God, my friend, that's getting ready to come back and show this unbelieving nation that there is one God, and besides him, there is no other. Where everybody's looking for God in all the wrong places, you're going to find God in a house of God when you can hear the word of God. People say, now, Brother Nick, I disagree with you on that. I don't think I need to go to church.
Yeah,
but I want you to know something right now. You need to be in the house of the Lord. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner that some is. You need to be where you can grow.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This right here. Then the second assurance that I love.
Yeah, buddy.
I serve a God that's going to pray for me.
Amen.
Think about it. You serve a God that created you, that died for you, but he loves you enough to pray for you.
Amen.
God prays for us a lot more than we pray for him, pray with him.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that though I fail miserably, I'm thankful that even though that I mess up every day of my life, that I serve a God that still prays for me more than I pray for you. When you hear people say, well, I pray a lot, you don't pray more than God.
Huh.
I've also prayed for God, I had to repent over his creation. Everybody wants to be, he wants to throw rocks and poke fingers at you today. It's easy to sit back in your seat, Brother Kevin, and say, look at this guy, he don't even know what he's talking about. You know what, if you think that you can do any better, pray to God and call you and come up here and do it.
That's right, brother. Yeah, we'll put you up there.
This is one of the most fearful places that you can ever stand. I would rather step out of a boat and try to walk on a wave that would take my head off as to stand behind this altar and try to handle the word of God.
Amen.
Without God.
Me too.
I can do nothing without God.
No.
I can do nothing without my rock, my redeemer, my fortress, my buckler, my strong tower. He is the horn of my salvation. He is where I seek refuge. I want you to know something right now. Ain't you thankful that when a storm comes in your life, Brother Kevin, that you can go to a rock and find some relief in your life? I'm thankful, my friend, that you got people still like Peter, my friend, that's willing to take that step, my friend. I want you to know, I believe that God used Peter more than what Peter wanted to be used sometimes. There's a lot of times that God lays on my heart more than I want to be used sometimes. When God was calling me into the ministry, I prayed for God to call somebody else, and I didn't want nothing to do with it. But when God speaks to you, and God calls you to do something, and you don't do it, you will be miserable.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the truth, son.
But if we have faith, just enough faith just to step out one little step, yeah. Jesus Christ will send you through it.
Yeah.
I believe that. I remember when God used Peter one more time when they were sitting around that fire. He said, "Who does men say that I am?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Thou art." He said, "Some say you're Isaiah. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Isaiah. Some say you're a prophet." Then he gets personal. Ain't you glad we got a God that'll get up in our
yeah,
face?
Who do you say?
I'm thankful that I got a God that'll get out in my business.
Yeah,
me.
Brother.
He said, "Who do you say that I am?"
Yeah.
And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Man hath not revealed this to you, but of God." And Jesus told him, he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want you to know something right now, my friend. You're not going to be cut until you're planted on a rock. You're not going to grow until you're planted on that rock. It's that rock, it's that guidance, that assurance, Brother Gary. Jesus Christ will let you grow in faith. I want you to know something. I feel like I can charge hell with a squirt gun right now.
Yeah.
Because greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. It is nothing that I did, but to God be the glory, brother. Bible tells me that there's none good, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if all have sinned, people better pop an altar.
Amen, brother. Yeah. That's good, preacher.
I'm thankful that I serve a God that does not care about how good you are. That does not care about how bad you are.
He don't care,
I'm
brother.
Thankful that I serve a God that
we're all bad.
You
hey,
are. You're not going to change the way that God loves you. When you think about how much Jesus loves you, he loved them enough that he kept walking on the water. When you think about how much Jesus loved you, here's Peter, my friend. He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you." How much faith would it take for some one of us that if we see God, if it's you, then let me come to you? That took a lot of faith.
Yeah.
He stepped on in the water. And the storms, though he looked behind him and saw what predicament he was in. And there's a lot of times that we get something bad news in our lives. We get the doctor gives us a bad news. We lose a loved one. We get into a circumstance in our life, into a storm, and we look the other way, look at our surroundings, and take our eyes off God.
We sure do, buddy.
Yes, we do. Look
at our circumstances. We take our eyes off God. And when you take your eyes off God, you're allowing Satan to move in.
Yeah.
There's nobody here that is strong enough to handle the devil.
No.
That's right.
Nobody
you tear you up,
is able to handle an attack from Satan without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that I serve the Lord, that I don't have to fight with the devil.
Amen.
People said, "Well, Brother Nick," he said, "you can preach as how you want to, but the devil's been on my back all day." Well, have you been in church? When's the last time? He ain't supposed to be on your back. Church is supposed to be under your feet. He said, then after Jesus said, "Come," and he says in verse 29, "And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus."
Yeah.
He said, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sing and cry, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, didst thou doubt?'"
Yeah.
Can you imagine Jesus? Here he is, he's walking on the water, and you still doubt him. What more does he got to do to prove that he is God?
Yeah.
But you know, I believe Peter remembered all this right here. I believe there's another time after Jesus was crucified, brother, Peter said, "I'm going to go fishing."
Oh, yeah.
And I believe he had tired all night. Then all of a sudden, there's a man standing on the bank of the river for him. And he said, in other words, the pirate said, "Have you caught anything?" And I believe that brought back memories of Peter, my friend. I believe that one of the disciples said, "Peter, that is our Lord." What did Peter do? He was the only one again. He jumped right off the boat. He went straight to Jesus Christ, my friend. Peter may have been a loud mouth. He may have had a temper. He may have denied the God. He may have not had enough faith as anybody else. But when Peter got in trouble, he knew who to run to. He knew who would help him at his darkest point. He knew who could deliver him. He didn't look for deliverance in his brothers and his sister, my friend, but he looked for deliverance in Jesus Christ, my friend. I believe that Jesus Christ used Peter more than what Peter wanted to be used. Like I said earlier, Peter came out of the boat and swim to him. But Peter was also thrown in jail, brother, and I believe that Jesus Christ appeared and people was praying for him, and his thoughts fell off, and Peter got to walk out of that jail, and he knocked upon the door of the ones that was praying for him, and they couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what you do when you shake the throne room of heaven with your prayer.
Yeah. Amen.
We don't pray enough. The Bible says to pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
We know we'll get down, we'll pray a little 2 minute prayer. There you go, God. That's all you're getting at me today. I'm good to go. I think I'm ready.
That's true. Yeah.
We need to pray more. The way we grow, we need to pray. You've got a Holy Spirit that lives within you.
Yeah.
You've got a one-way ticket right to heaven. You don't need Brother Kevin. You don't need nobody to pray for you. If you're blood-bought, blood-stained, and redeemed, my friend, in the blood of Christ, my friend, God will hear your prayers, my friend. When you bow your knee and you cry out to God, your prayers go right to the holiest of holies, my friend, and Jesus Christ will hear you.
Amen.
He sure will.
Amen.
I'm thankful for another assurance. That's
real prayer. Amen, buddy.
He heard Peter cry out.
Yeah.
And I bet he just smiled again.
Yeah.
Bless his heart. I bet he looked at Peter like he does me. Because I feel him more than Peter does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I bet he looks at me and says, Brother Kevin, I'm going to have my hands full with this. This one right here, I've seen gnats with more faith than this little fella right here has got. But here I am again, and he'll stretch down that hand one more time.
Pick you up, buddy. Short
he'll
up.
Pick me up when I'm feeling down. He'll pick me up.
He sure will.
Me when I feel like there's no hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can feel the arms of Christ just shelter me right in his arms again. There's comfort in the Lord.
Yeah.
There's joy in the Lord.
Sure.
Once you get a taste of God, my friend, and you try to tell me that, say, I've been in church and I've had this taste of God, and you try to go into this world, I'm going to look at you and I'm going to tell you that you never had a full dose of God's grace, my friend. You just went through the emotion that's been in church. You may have felt the guilt, but you ain't felt the salvation.
Amen,
you may have been down and out, my friend, but you ain't had a meeting with the Master.
Right.
I want you to know that, because once you get God in your life, my friend, and you get out of your boat and you try to walk on the water, then your life will never be the same again. You cannot go out into this world and enjoy it the way that you used to, because you've had a taste of heaven, my friend, and God is not going to let you do it. And I want you to know something else, my friend, that if you tell me, my friend, that you're a child of God and you have no desire to come into the house of God, my friend, I think that you better do some soul searching above the Lord somewhere, my friend. Because few need to be in the house of the Lord. I didn't want to come to church, brother. When I was raised up, I hated going to church. I made fun of preachers. I made fun of everybody. Be careful who you make fun of. God made fun of you.
Turn
not in the
world. Yep.
I had no desire to come to church. But I've got a desire.
Yeah.
That lives within me.
Yeah.
I've looked forward. Although my knees was knocking, I looked forward to this whole week.
Yeah.
To coming and having fellowship.
Yeah.
With my brothers and sisters. Every time I come into the house of the Lord, it makes me want to jump off my boat and start walking on the water. It makes me want to go to heaven. Because I know what I feel tonight. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you're in heaven?
Oh, amen. Amen. Yeah, think about that. Bless the Lord.
How many Peters do we got in here? How many people are willing to step out and walk on the water?
Yeah.
How many is willing to lead you, buddy, that you sit with every Sunday at church, raise your little holy hand up in the air, sing Amazing Grace, get caught up in a few emotions, and you'll walk out the door? But how many is willing to leave that buddy and step out on the boat and walk on water?
Amen.
How many is willing to take that step, Brother Kim, when you can't hardly feel nothing underneath your feet? How many is willing to take that step when you feel nothing? You say, here I am, God, please don't let me fall.
Amen,
here I
buddy.
Am, God. I know there's nothing under my feet, but God, you spoke everything into existence. I believe with all my heart that if I take a step, there's going to be a rock right here. There's going to be a rock right here. That rock will follow you every step that you go through. A path will never run out, my friend, because that rock is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
That's the only time that I've ever read in the Bible where a rock walked on water.
Yeah.
I throw rocks in the water and they sink.
Yeah.
But this walked, brother.
Yeah.
This walked. When he told Peter that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, that rock was sitting beside him.
Amen.
That rock is your redeemer. That rock is your mediator. That rock is David's slingshot.
Yeah.
That rock was Moses' staff. That rock that rock is the bright and morning star. That rock is the lily of the valley. That rock is the Lord God of heaven. That rock is the one that Isaiah preached on. That rock is the one that Noah looked to. That rock is the one that Paul looked to. That rock, I want you to know something right now. Not only will this rock make you want to get out of your boat, but this rock will knock you off your high horse as well.
Amen.
I'm getting ready to close.
But what we need is more people that will take a stand for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What we need is more Peters. We need some more hateful men that will stand up and run their mouth, but they'll take a stand with Jesus Christ, my friend. We need more people like Peter, my friend. Say that you guys, you stay right here if you want to. That is my Lord, and I'm going to Him.
Amen.
That's what we need. We need some. We need men in our church today that when they pray, they can shake the prayer bells of heaven.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
We don't need no mediocre men of God that can make your smile and show you a full set of teeth that's been washed more than what they forbid than anything else.
Yeah.
We need somebody that'll walk all over our feet. That word of God will come for you, but that word of God will bow its fist up and punch you right in the mouth. That word of God will convict your heart, but that word of God, when that conviction comes, that word of God will set you free.
Amen.
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 Will you step out of your boat? Will you walk on water? Or will you stay in the boat and get the case of the Limbertails and say, you go on, not today, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, I've got enough faith that you can save my soul, but that's about it. I've got enough faith, God, that I can go to heaven, but I've not got enough faith that I believe if I pray for his mouth to be moved out of yonder place, he'll move.
Yeah.
I've got enough faith for that, Lord. If you're here tonight and you're one of these ones that's so close to stepping out of that boat, but every time you take a step forward, you look at her, your surroundings, and you get back in, then this altar's for you.
Yeah.
Every Christian needs to get closer to the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're somebody here tonight, maybe you slid away just a little bit. I'm minding the Lord, brother. But if somebody, if you're one of these people in here tonight, that you know who you are, God has laid this on my heart for a reason, because this was not what I even intended to preach tonight. God has laid this on my heart for a reason. God don't need you to keep the seat warm for him. He told his disciples to go. Go is a verb. He means action. God did not call you to sit down and let grass grow around you.
That's right.
He called you to trample down the walls of hell. He calls you to be a light for a lost and dying generation. I shouldn't have to wear a shirt that says I'm a Christian. If y'all can't be around me and know by my works, my actions that I'm a child of God, then something is wrong.
That's right, brother. That's the truth.
How many people will be willing to say, God, I have failed you, that I have let you down? There's times that you have called me to walk on the water, whether it's to help with Sunday school, whether it's to get up and sing a song, whether it's to help with the youth, whether it's willing to do anything. You know what churches need? We need more. We need our kids involved in church.
We do.
We need more kids involved in church. That's why there's so many strung out on drugs and overdosing every day. It's because a lot of the churches shut the God's word on the kids. Because we think that there's an age of accountability, and until they reach this age, they're perfect. My Bible tells me for him to know to do good and doeth it not to them, it's sin.
That's right.
They need to be in the house of the Lord. Yeah. The Bible says to serve thy Lord in thy youth.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Let's lead by an example. People say these kids are the future church. These kids are the church of today.
Yeah.
Sure. They don't need to be no future. They need to be in the church today. They can witness to their friends today. If you put it in and they'll open their little ears up to hear you, then they can do great things with God, my friend. I can show you all through the Word of God. Maybe some of us get amnesia. We don't even read it or we forgot about it. But I can show you all through the Word of God, for God used a little lad to do a miracle.
He sure did. At his lunch.
Right before he sent him on his boat, brother, he done a miracle performed by a little lad.
Yeah.
When he gave him the fish and the bread and he fed the multitude, that was a little lad that God used. God used a little lad named David to bring out a big old man.
Yeah.
Because God's grown ups, they got the guts to step out of the boat.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Lord.
I love kids with all my heart, but I'm going to step out before I let a child do it.
Yeah.
Because I believe that Jesus Christ can deliver me. Why do I believe that? You're looking at a guy right now. The doctor said if I lived, I'd be a vegetable. When I was a child, a baby, I took seizures. My brain was covered with scars. The doctor at Pipeville Medical Center read my papers and stuff to my parents and said there's nothing more that I can do for him. So they took me to Lexington. And my mom told my dad, she said, Larry, I remember somewhere in the Bible where it says if there's any among you that's sick, let them call for the elders of the church. I know there was no prayer in that world, but God answered my parents' faith.
Yeah.
God foreseen the future
even before I know myself, God seen me standing here today.
Sure.
They took the CT scans that was taking me from Hartford and took them to the UK, which they run their own. And while I was down there, while they was doing them scans, my aunt called my dad and said, "Larry, the Lord has healed your baby. They're not going to find nothing wrong with him." And when they took them, before I came home, my aunt passed away. That was some of the final words that she ever spoke to my dad, was that the Lord has healed your child. And when they put the scans up on their x-ray thing and put the new ones up beside us, that doctor just bowed his head down. They said, "I don't know if you all see what I'm seeing or not, but all the scars that is on this one is gone on mine. I've never been a seizure since because God had a mission for me."
Yeah. Amen.
I know that he was going to use me, Brother Kevin, long before I ever knew
sure
that God was going to use
sure
me.
Does. He knows
God knows that this little fella don't know it now, but I'm going to put a storm in his life, and I'm going to get him out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
I'm going to get him out of the boat. Whether he wants to or not, I'm going to get him to walk on water.
Yeah.
I'm going to get, when he starts to sink, I'm going to pick him back up and make him walk again. When he starts to sink, I'm going to pick him back up and make him walk again. I'm not going to let him fail me. I want you to know something right now. I have failed God more times than I can count. But every time that I have failed God, down on my knees with a broken heart, God has extended his hand down to me. He said, "I don't know why you're so stressed out for, because I know that you was going to fail me."
Yeah.
I want you to know something. He knows, as much as he loved Peter, he knows that Peter would walk on the water. He knows that Peter would mouth off to him. He know that Peter would call something unclean that God has cleansed. He know that Peter had an attitude from the very get-go. God knows your attitude. He knows your heart. He knows your intention. But he loves you anyway.
Amen.
So what we need is more people. And I'm closing. Brother, you can come on. If you're here tonight and you know that God is adding something else to your plate, my prayer tonight is that you'll step out of the boat. And you'll walk on the water. Peter didn't have to walk far. All Peter had to do was take a couple steps.
Yeah.
And that was enough. Bible says you'd be faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many.
Amen.
Peter didn't do a whole lot. He didn't walk clean across the Atlantic Ocean or the Indian Ocean. He didn't walk right across the River Jordan. But Peter did walk a couple steps.
Yeah.
And a couple steps was all it took.
Right.
He said, "Peter, right here I am." It's like a baby step when you're learning a baby to walk. You know, with a parent, don't get that far away from them. I believe when Peter was walking the water, the Lord was like, "He's right here, just a couple more steps, Peter, I got you. Just a couple more steps, Peter, I got you." That is what God wants you to do in your life. God does not expect you to walk clean across the Atlantic, but God expects you to have enough faith that you can get out and walk a couple steps on the waves.
Amen.
So when you come tonight, Brother Kevin, God didn't expect you to, every time you preach for somebody, to give their life to God.
Yeah.
But he expects you to be obedient.
Be faithful and obedient, brother.
Be
sir.
Brother Buddy, God knows that we're going to fail him.
Yeah.
And he knows how many times that we're going to fail him, but he expects you to be obedient to his calling.
Yes, sir.
He expects you to be faithful over a little things.
Yes, sir.
So God can bless you in your life.
Yes, sir.
How many of us, people say, "Well, you make it sound, actually, that's a lot of faith that takes two steps walking. I'm not sure I've got enough faith that I can take a step on water." But you got to have enough faith to stand on something.
Right.
Peter had enough faith that he could stand on water. And we ain't got enough faith to believe that God can even do a common code.
Yeah.
And we expect God to move. We expect people to be saved with that kind of attitude, right. Brother Buddy.
Yeah.
Let's get out of our boat tonight. And let's give God the praise that he deserves.
Yeah.
Brother, I'm done.
We're going to ask both of these brothers to stand out front.
Yeah.
If somebody's got a song they want to sing while we shake hands, Brother Matt, it'd be wonderful. But